This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In the last few weeks, we've been talking about the benefits of ibadah and coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the very first one we talked about was that ibadah creates inner peace within a person. The second benefit of ibadah was that we talked about this last week, that it's considered as liberating. And we talked about that Islam in itself, the way it, when they came and so forth, and how the Sahaba, they viewed Islam, and how they would describe Islam to others and to other rulers, in fact, was that Islam came to liberate people from the worship of other things to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, very briefly, the third benefit of ibadah is that ibadah creates morality within a person. Now, when there is something called morality and there's something called immorality, there's a difference between the two. Morality in English basically means that a person who has good behavior, a person who has good akhlaq, good character, other people like to interact with them because of their morality. And not only that, but some ulama even explained that morality could also mean that a person has haya within them, or for a person to have something that is considered as fitrah. Each one of us, the way we have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that we were created with haya. Eventually, what happens is that the society may make a person, you know, they may make a person in the situation where they have a lack of haya. You know, in Urdu, we call that behaya, okay? That the society, their surrounding are such people that they make them immoral. Immorality, on the other hand, is something that is considered as a lack of good behavior, a lack of good character. People don't like to be around them. Anything that is different from the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us on. By the way, when you talk about many different problems in our society, it's not the way that Allah created us. We then became a product of the society. When people talk about racism and hate, Allah did not create us with racism and hate. In fact, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ, Allah created us. In fact, Allah takes great honor in the fact that Allah has created so many different languages and so many different ethnicities. This is Allah bragging about this. So if Allah is bragging about this, then how we see the hatred and the racism and so forth today? This is because we then become a product of our society. Society says, your race is the more superior race, hence all the other races become inferior to your race, and hence racism grows and so forth. The point is, when a person is still on the path of his fitrah, and then that means that a person has morality in their life. And when a person deviates from the fitrah that Allah created us on, then a person becomes immoral, or they have immorality in their life. Now, what is the benefit of ibadah? The benefit of ibadah is that it keeps a person on the path of morality. A person always understands their purpose of life. A person always understands what they are about to do. Is it right? Or is it wrong? So, first of all, is that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about ibadah. In fact, He talks about salat. Because when we talk about ibadah, the greatest aspect of ibadah, and the very first thing we all question about on the Day of Judgment, is salat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. This is Allah telling the Prophet alayhi salam, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ, that recite unto the people what has been revealed to you. That, and then he says, أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the salat. Then he says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salat has the power, salat has the ability to refrain a person, to stop a person from doing what? Al-fahsha. Fahsha is immorality. immorality, wal-munkar, and evil deeds. Meaning that salat has the capacity to create enough discipline within a person that they will stay away from immorality. Whenever there's a situation that they could become immoral, or they are surrounded by immoral people and they can easily fall into immorality, they stop themselves right away. Why? Because they have a habit of salat. Now, I have to say this. Many parents are very concerned about the spirituality of their children. And rightfully, they should be. We all should be. Because of the situation that's taking place and so forth, we all should be worried about it. But at the same time, we have to also understand that if you really want your kids to stay away from these kind of things, make them punctual about salat. Because what salat does is that on a 5 times daily basis, it makes you stand before our Creator. Salat is a situation where we stand before Allah and we are communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if you have a very good friendship with someone and you communicate with them on a daily basis. Then if they tell you that you are doing something that is not appropriate, you're doing something that is not correct, I want you to refrain from that. As a result of this friendship, this connection that we have with that person, we will say, okay, you know what, I'll stay away from that. The fact that you and I, when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah is responding to us. When we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah is responding to us. This is us communicating, by the way, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm saying Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah is responding to that. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Allah is responding to that. So what that does is that it creates some kind of morality within a person, and a person has enough haya, enough morality in their life, that even if they're about to do something that Allah does not want them to do, as out of respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they stay away from that. And that is why also in the Quran Allah says, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ, there came a generation afterwards. That what did they do? أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ. They wasted their salat. And as a result of them wasting their salat, what happened? Allah says, وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. They followed their desires. So if we truly want to stick to our deen, we want to stick to our haya, we want to stick to our morality, our akhlaq, and the fitrah that Allah created you and I on, then we have to stick to ibadah, and we have to stick to our salat. So that is the benefit of ibadah. Another aspect of morality is that a person has enough morality that when they are in their own personal space, they still are conducting, or they're still doing the right thing. And the reason why this is very important is because imagine a kid or a student, let's just say, he comes from a very well-known family, for example. Mother is very well-known in the community. Father is very well known in the community and so forth. And he knows that, or she knows that, if I go somewhere and I do something that is wrong, everyone knows who I am. If someone sees me at the wrong place, then they're gonna feel like, okay, I need to talk to the father of this child, or I need to talk to the mother of this child and so forth. People, a lot of times, out of respect for our own parents, we stay away from certain places. But imagine going to a place where no one knows us. No one knows who I am, no one knows my mom, no one knows my dad, no one knows anything about me. If I do something that is wrong, all that they have seen is that this person, he could be a Muslim, he's a brown person, for example, you know, it could be something, right? So what a person does is that a lot of times in their own personal space, they may lose their morality. What salat does, what ibadah does, is that even within our own personal space, even in our private life, even if no one knows us, salat creates, ibadah creates morality even in that kind of situation. And the reason why this is very important is because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sending Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, he gave him 3 instructions. And by the way, I always say that as parents, before you send your kids off to school, give them these 3 same advices. Because this was the parting advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The very first one was, ittaqillah haythuma kunt. That be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. Number 2 is, وَاتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. That always back up something that if you have done something that is wrong, you've committed a sin, back it up with something that is good. And number three is وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. That always treat people with good character. I'm only concerned right now with the very first part. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say, اتق الله حيثما كنت. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. Why? Because of the same example I just gave earlier. A person could be in a place where everyone knows them and they do something that is wrong. People might see them the wrong way. But imagine going to a place where no one knows you. In that situation, when a person has ibadah in their life, they're constantly worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in those kind of situations, this ibadah will create morality and taqwa in their life. And the third thing is, when it comes to morality, and the last point, inshallah, for today's khatira, you'll find a lot of people that they have good akhlaq, but they don't have something in life which is called a moral compass. They don't have something that is called a moral compass. A moral compass basically means is that you see something that is wrong, and if you are against it, that's a sign that you have a moral compass. That means that you have enough morality that is pointing you. What a compass does is it points you in the right direction. What your morality does is that it points you in the right direction. There are some people who may have, in general, very good akhlaq with others, but they don't have a moral compass. Meaning that if they see someone doing something that is wrong, they don't have enough in their life, enough morality in their life to point them in the right direction. They may be supporting something that is completely wrong. And that's why today, subhanAllah, you know, with all these politicians, these corrupt politicians who are supporting this genocide in Palestine and so forth, we talk about not their morality, we talk about their moral compass. That they don't have enough morality in their life to point them in the right direction. The fact that you find so many Israeli people, while there are a lot of Israeli people who are against this whole genocide, there are a lot of Israeli people who are openly saying, yeah, go ahead and kill all these children, go ahead and kill all these babies. That is not fitrah. That is called that you don't have a moral compass. You understand? You don't have enough morality in your life that can point you in the right direction. In fact, you have a compass that is malfunctioning, that is pointing you in the right direction. And you become so ill in terms of your morality, you become so corrupt in terms of our morality, that instead of seeing something that is wrong, when you see something that is wrong, instead of saying, this is wrong, these same people, what they're saying is that, yeah, let them go and kill as many people as it is. Even as Muslims, the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that no people are supposed to be killed under any circumstances, there are some here in their situation, such as in a war and so forth, but women are off limits, children are off limits, sanctuaries are off limits, trees are off limits, and many other things are considered as off limits. Yet these people don't have enough of a moral compass that would tell them that this is wrong under all circumstances. This is what ibadah creates. So ibadah creates morality. Then number two is ibadah creates morality in our private life, even in our own personal life. And not only that, but on a social scale, on a social level, ibadah creates morality even on a social level, that if socially we see something that is wrong, we say that our fitrah has taught us, Allah has taught us this is wrong, I don't care who's doing it, this is absolutely, that is wrong. This is called a moral compass. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were times where he saw something that is wrong, and he told his own Sahaba, I don't care if you did it, but what you did was absolutely wrong. And he would hold the Sahaba accountable. This is called a moral compass. This is something that many times our youth, our children, even adults may not have. But what ibadah does is that it creates that within our life. So that is why we need to always take our ibadah seriously. Always. And when we conduct our ibadah, last thing I will say is, when we do our ibadah, the only way we can get the true benefits of ibadah is that if we conduct it correctly. It cannot be that where I conduct my ibadah in a way where I'm just trying to, I see it as a burden and I'm just trying to take it off my shoulders as a burden. No, ibadah has to be conducted and offered in a way that we mean it, we are taking pride into it, and we put sincerity into that ibadah. Only then that ibadah will have an impact in our life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the abideen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who truly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who benefit from our ibadah in this dunya and the akhirah. Amin Rabbil Alameen. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون.